This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. Yes, we hold up God's word here in our service. Holy Bible, say pastors, workers, people, this is God's word. Believe it and be saved, disbelieve it and be lost. But this is the old trailblazer, Pastor Pendarvis, inviting you to stay tuned now to hear God's message by our late pastor, L.R. Shelton Sr. And the message you'll hear today is the nature of human government. That ought to whet your appetite. The message is the nature of human government. And this is our fall fellowship day. Folks have begun to come in all over the country, here, there, and yonder, and enjoying the week to services that are past and gone now. So if you weren't able to make it, put it on your calendar for the fall. We'll have for next spring. We'll have one again next spring. But remember, this is the nature of human government, and we'll give you the mailing address shortly.
In the last weeks, much has been said pro and con about capital punishment. Bills have been presented to our legislative bodies to abolish it from the law books, and much pressure is being brought to bear on the public to rally behind the promoters of legal measures to do away with the legal doctrine of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Not only is this clamor for repeal of capital punishment coming from the lawless, but from the law enforcement officers and even ministers of religion, so-called. Again, the question comes ringing out from many quarters. What is happening to our nation? Why are our leaders becoming confused on such vital issues as government, law enforcement, punishment of crimes, coddling criminals, and permission to commit acts of violence and civil disobedience? We have been bringing you a series of messages on the sins, signs of the times, showing you that we are living in days such as were before the flood, characterized by two words, corrupt or corruption and violence. We look about us and see such moral depravity and violence that we cannot help but read the signs of the times and know that we are rapidly approaching the end of the age. We want to give you a series of four messages on capital punishment or human government, showing you the nature of government, the purpose, the aim, and the methods of government as set forth in God's Word. Now listen to Romans 13:1. Now you listen. Let every soul be subject unto the high powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Now, listen again at God's word, 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. This sets forth both Paul's command to respect the civil authority and Peter's instructions how to obey the law or laws of the land. In both passages of Scripture, we are given the reason which is significant in this day in which we live. I want to call your attention to it again. Listen, Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. And Peter says, governors sent for the punishment of evildoers. Here we are told government restrains lawlessness. The Bible enjoins every one of us to obey those in authority over us in our land. Now you put that down and then hold it. Another thing we notice from our passage in Romans is that government is of God. There is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, listen, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. There is a special punishment in hell for rebels and anarchists. who break the law in defiance of authority, whether it parades under the name of civil disobedience or under a cloak of religion. It makes you sick to see preachers making fools of themselves by championing the cause of the lawlessness that is flooding our land today, while they pretend to represent the God of heaven. What a bunch of false prophets and hypocrites pervading up and down the country as angels of light, who shall receive the greater damnation than the poor fools they deceive. According to the 23rd chapter of Matthew, in our passage in Peter, we find that he has a special message to preachers and Christians regarding obedience to the government. Listen, submit as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. The true servant of Christ will not serve the cause of lawlessness or maliciousness, which is literally translated as free, and not having freedom as a cloak of malice. You listen to these ministers of Satan, 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, and you hear the keynote of letting the criminal go free while the innocent suffer at their wicked hands. The ministerial advocates to abolish capital punishment keep swelling their ranks and intimidating our law enforcement officers and hampering their work of making our land peaceful and happy. Now let me give you a reading here. The law says, thou shalt not kill. But these false prophets reads it like this. Now you get it. Thou shall not kill the killer. Now that's the law of the criminal today, and many who say they are citizens. Thou shalt not kill the killer. Then we have in Romans 13:4 a definition of government. He is a minister of God to thee for good. Government is for the good of the people. Webster says that government denotes in common the persons authorized to administer the laws of a country. The root meaning of the word govern is to steer a ship, and there it carries the thought of keeping in a straight course for smooth operation for the good of the individual and for the good of the whole. It means to avoid perils that would cause shipwreck and steer the ship to the end of a prosperous and happy journey. Therefore, government is a system of law in operation for the welfare and happiness of each member of a particular realm and for the good of that realm as a whole. Government has the strength of execution in officially constituted authority, whether it is the father in the home or the king on the throne. God has laid down the order of authority in His Word in 1 Corinthians 11:3. Now, you may have never connected these two together like this, but you listen. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. With these thoughts in mind, let's look at the foundation and institution of human government in Adam's race. Again, let me call your attention to our present series of messages on sin, showing how sin entered the world, the awful nature and misery of sin, and the power that sin has on individuals. Write me for them. We'll send them to you free and postpaid. Listen, as Paul said, government is of God. Therefore, we must look back to the beginning of God's dealings with the human race to see the foundation of human government. If you read the first chapters of Genesis closely, you will note that it was not until after the flood that God instituted human government under the patriarch of Noah as we have it today. In the Garden of Eden, God dealt with Adam and Eve directly. He slew the animals when they sinned and clothed them with coats of skin. This meant that God executed the penalty of their sin by decree upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who would bear it in time when he died on the cross. And he gave this sacrifice to Adam, and with it the promise in Genesis 3:15 of the Messiah who would come to fulfill it. Then listen, from Adam to the flood, he put them under conscience. But conscience can only tell the sinner he's wrong after he commits the sin. But man has no power to refrain from sinning. And so we find that the age of conscience found man a complete failure, because God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. So man left his own conscience will wax worse and worse, because conscience is not an effective restraint against sin. I want to call your attention to the fact that God dealt with the race of man from Adam to the flood, and also it was the whole race of man that God dealt with when he made the covenant with Noah and instituted the divine institution of human government in these words, Genesis 9:5-6. Now lay down everything. Listen, will you get this? Genesis 9:5-6. Listen. Listen to God's word, will you? And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast, will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Did you get that now? That's when God laid down the human government that's undergone probably many changes since then, but that's the basic fact of human government. And that law has never been repealed. Never. We find here that murder is the silent testimony of the enmity and hatred of man against God, because man cannot get at God, and so he tries to kill that which is in God's image. You might say that murder is the thermometer of man's fever of hatred, enmity, intolerance, defiance, and rebellion against God. This accounts for the sympathy for the criminal and the growing number of sympathizers in these days of apostasy with lawlessness and lawbreakers. Now that's true. Just let a criminal murder a man. It won't be 24 hours until thousands of hearts will go out to liberate him, set him free. Now the reason of that is because of their hatred of God. At this point, I want us to look at the law, which is the foundation of government. As we understand the word today, it is a rule or body of rules prescribed by the supreme governing authority and enforced by a sanction directing a course of conduct or regulating the action of the members of a commonwealth. Laws are not made. Laws are made for the public welfare of the nation or tribe, with the view of exercising justice to each member of their political unit. Now, my friends, the average individual today, or we might say a great percent, do not know where their liberty ends and my liberty begins. They don't. And government has got to be administered for the good of the whole and not for a certain class of individuals. God's word sets forth the word law as meaning that which points out or indicates his will to man. It is not an arbitrary rule. Still less is it a subjective impulse. It is rather to be regarded as a course of guidance from above, because the God who made man knows the principles which ensures his welfare and happiness. Now, did you get that? Let me state again. The law is God's word of guidance and counsel regarding the principles of moral existence, which ensures man's welfare and happiness. No matter how much man tries to legislate God out of his life and out of his world, God and his moral law remain unmoved and unmovable, unchanged and unchangeable. And you violate it to your own undoing and unhappiness and to your own damnation. Law exists in the very warp and woof of the universe. In every mathematical maxim, in every celestial calculation, as well as in every diabolical and chemical reaction, law exists in every musical vibration, in every mechanical invention, and in every stratum of human organization. The jets fly by law, human minds learn by law, business science is carried on by law, and moral conduct is regulated by law. You can't get around it. Now you violate one of those laws and see what you run up against. You violate the moral conduct, the law that governs moral conduct, and you wreck society. Violate the law that flies a jet, and you have a crash. Violate any mechanical law of mechanical invention, you have a ruin. If you will study God's dealings with man from the creation of Adam, you'll notice that he administers all his transactions on the basis of covenants, which means on the basis of a law. And the period of time in which a covenant is effected is called in God's word an age, sometimes translated this world, or ever. In the Greek, it is an eon of time, a measured period of time. And we use the word dispensation as a synonymous term. God made the first covenant with Adam in Eden in the state of innocence, and he laid down one law. Now you get it. You get it. Thou shalt not eat of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. And he also stated the penalty of disobedience. For in the day thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's capital punishment. God teaches capital punishment. Here God, the governor of the universe, administered his government on earth, and man disobeyed and reaped the penalty, death. After the end of the age of innocency, God made another covenant with Adam. And again we find that he laid down another law in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:16. Listen, you get it. Unto the woman he said, thy desire shall be unto thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Here we have God appointing man as husband to be the head of the authority in the home. This is the common law to the whole human race, and it requires absolute obedience of children to parents and wife to husband. No other authority has the right to come between the father and his family. And friends, that's where our society has broken down today all over America, is that you men will not take your place as the head of your home and manifest authority in that home. You won't do it. One of the greatest problems we preachers have who deal with it is with what we call broken homes, where the father will not exercise the authority. He'll sit back and laugh at the mother. But why don't you control the children? Why don't you make them mind you? Why don't you control them? When it's your business, you are the head of the home. Boy, we got some tough heads, haven't we? Some of the sorest heads you ever saw in your life. I've dealt here in this city for 42 years. Here in this church with thousands of families. And I tell you, sometimes I feel like masculine Christianity would do good. And I know it, that's not the way out. But I'm telling you the way I feel when I sit and listen at broken homes because fathers will not take their place. Then our nation is going on the mud flats because our men in authority will not enforce our laws. All right, let that soak in. Turn to me now to Romans 2:14. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law in themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. I want you to mark that reference down and read it. Romans 2:14, 15. Do you know that among every race, every tribe, every family group upon the face of the earth, regardless of how backward, uncivilized, unlearned they are, there's government. There's a law and law enforcement. This shows the work of the law written in their hearts, which goes all the way back to Adam. God gave the law to Adam before he sinned. Thou shalt not eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I can't emphasize that too much. Then after Adam sinned, God established human authority. He shall rule over thee. That is, the man shall be head of the home and govern the home in authority with love. And let me tell you another thing. The New Testament does not set aside the law. Read again the scriptures I read to you in 1 Corinthians 11:3, where Paul says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Paul is stating this eternal order delivered to Adam before and after he sinned. And here he is putting it in the form of a charge to the church. Get this great truth. Grace does not set aside the law. It simply honors the law by furnishing the sinner with the ability to keep the law which he is not keeping and not able to keep of his own will. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believeth. All the righteousness that the law demands, Christ gives it to us. It is death, burial, and resurrection to everyone that believeth. I have the righteousness of Christ that sets me above the law. But the law is the rule of my life in Christ. Now you can deny it all you want to. And the reason we have a lawless nation now is the average preacher says it's not the sin question we face today, it's the son question. The only thing a man has to do, just believe, just trust Jesus, and he's saved, and no matter how he lives, anything about it. And therefore, our churches are lawless, our ministers are lawless, and we're on the debugging slide to hell, because the law is the schoolmaster that brings us to Christ, and the law, under the power of the Holy Spirit, is that which awakens the sinner to the fact he's a lost, hell-deserving sinner when he comes to look into the mirror of the law. And then he begins to see the holiness and majesty of God and falls down as a sinner crying for mercy. He's a law violator. He's a law transgressor. God help us in this hour. God has had his method of suppressing wickedness in the Gentile world all the while. Now let's just give me one other thought in closing. I want you to notice and read Genesis 9:5-6 that I'm emphasizing with this other great scripture, that this investment of authority in the human race, God speaks especially of capital punishment. Listen, and surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast, will I require it at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Now let me warn you. It's the law that shuts a sinner up until faith is revealed in his heart to lay hold of Christ as his substitute. If you've never learned the authority of God as sovereign and Christ as Lord of your heart and life, you'll never find pardon in the blood of Christ. And if you never learn the authority in the home, whether you're a wife or a child, you'll never be saved. And no man who doesn't learn the law and come to respect it in obedience to God will never know grace in the salvation of his soul.
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast. And this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Missions, where the gospel goes out on a regular basis. We've been here. Pastor L.R. Shelton Sr. was the founder and the pastor here at Radio Missions and First Baptist Church of Algiers in New Orleans for many, many, many years. Now he's gone on to be with the Lord, and we still air his broadcast. It's just great to be able to send out the message over these great ether waves. We have the internet now. We have the live streaming. We have the Radio Missions Radio. So if you would, if you're interested in the old-time, old-fashioned gospel message, write me. Let me hear from you. And then I ask you to help us with the broadcast a little. Once in a while, folks will ask me, do we need any help? Yes, we do need help certain times of the year. But if you would, we appreciate every one of you. We fail to tell you that oftentimes. The message that you heard was the nature of human government. And also today, our Fall Fellowship Day. What a day. What a day. Oh, my friend, this broadcast airs locally here early in the morning. Then after that, we have the Bible School of the Air, and then the worship time, and then we have dinner on the ground. And folks come here to enjoy being here, talk about the Lord, enjoying the presence of the Lord. The Scripture says where two or three are gathered together in my name, the Lord will be here with us. Don't you like that old time? Aren't you tired of this modernism, folks? Aren't you tired of political correctness? Aren't you tired of those things? Come on and be with us here today at our Fall Fellowship Day. If you're in driving distance of Walker, we're right here, not far from anywhere. Right off of I-12, you're no trouble finding. But we'll be here. We'll have dinner on the ground. We have good cooks in this ministry, folks. Bring stuff here to eat. But remember, the message you heard was the nature of human government. What a message. And it's by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton Sr. And all of his messages, we have over 400 titles. It's in print. And we'd be glad to send you some of them if you'd like. We'll send you a catalog. You can pick and choose. And I had a lady call me the other day, wanted 200 copies. So you do that. But come on, be with us if you're in driving distance of Walker. And remember, we'll be here all day today, dinner on the ground, preaching all around, just loving each other. Remember my mailing address, Radio Missions, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785, and my phone number, area code 225-664-8658. Goodbye, and God bless you.